Episode 2 of Macbeth by William Shakespeare, performed by members of Suitcase Theatre Company in Abergavenny, Wales. This episode is entitled Stars, Hide Your Fires. Macbeth is dismayed to find that Duncan's eldest son, Malcolm, is now the Prince of Cumberland and heir apparent to the throne. Lady Macbeth fears that her husband's nobility of character will dissuade him from killing Duncan when the king visits their castle at Inverness. She steels herself to be ready to assist in the murder she sees as an opportunity not to be missed.
Is execution done on Cawdor? Are not those in commission yet returned?
My liege, they are not yet come back. But I have spoke with one that saw him die, who did report that very frankly he confessed his treasons, implored your highness' pardon, and set forth a deep repentance. Nothing in his life became him like the leaving it. He died as one that had been studied in his death, to throw away the dearest thing he owed as 'twere a careless trifle.
There's no art to find the mind's construction in the face. He was a gentleman on whom I built an absolute trust. Oh, worthiest cousin, the sin of my ingratitude even now was heavy on me. Thou art so far before that swiftest wing of recompense is slow to overtake thee. Would thou hadst less deserved, that the proportion both of thanks and payment might have been mine. Only I have left to say, more is thy due than more than all can pay.
The service and the loyalty I owe in doing it pays itself. Your Highness' part is to receive our duties, and our duties are to your throne and state, children and servants, which do but what they should by doing everything safe toward your love and honour.
Welcome hither. I have begun to plant thee, and will labour to make thee full of growing. Noble Banquo, that hast no less deserved, nor must be known no less to have done so, let me enfold thee, and hold thee to my heart.
There, if I grow, the harvest is your own.
My plenteous joys, wanton in fullness, seek to hide themselves in drops of sorrow. Sons, kinsmen, thanes, and you whose places are the nearest, know, we will establish our estate upon our eldest, Malcolm, whom we name hereafter the Prince of Cumberland.
The Prince of Cumberland!
Which honour must not unaccompanied invest him only, but signs of nobleness, like stars, shall shine on all deservers. From hence to Inverness, and bind us further to you.
The rest is labour, which is not used for you. I'll be myself the harbinger, and make joyful the hearing of my wife with your approach. So, humbly take my leave.
My worthy Cawdor.
The Prince of Cumberland? That is a step on which I must fall down, or else o'erleap, for in my way it lies. Stars, hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. The eye wink at the hand, yet let that be which the eye fears when it is done to see.
True, worthy Banquo. He is full so valiant and in his commendations I am fed. It is a banquet to me. Let's after him, whose care is gone before to bid us welcome. It is a peerless kinsman.
They met me in the day of success, and I have learned by the perfectest report they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air, into which they vanished. Whilst I stood rapt in the wonder of it, came missives from the king, who all hailed me Thane of Cawdor, by which title before, these weird sisters saluted me and referred me to the coming on of time with Hail, King that shalt be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou mightst not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness is promised thee. Lay it to thy heart, and farewell. Glamis thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, art not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Thou'st have, great Glamis, that which cries, thus thou must do, if thou have it. And that which rather thou dost fear to do, than wishes should be undone. Hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirits in thine ear, and chastise with the valour of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round, which fate and metaphysical aid does seem to have thee crowned withal. What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou'rt mad to say it. Is not thy master with him, who, wert so, would have informed for preparation?
So please you, it is true, our Thane is coming. One of my fellows had the speed of him, who, almost dead for breath, had scarcely more than would make up his message.
Give him tending. He brings great news. The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe, topful of the direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall. You murdering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pall thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold! Great Glamis, worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all hail hereafter. Thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
Oh, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my thane, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favour ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
This castle hath a pleasant seat. The air nimbly and sweetly recommends itself unto our gentle senses.
This guest of summer, the temple-haunting martlet, does approve, by his loved mansionary, that the heaven's breath smells wooingly here. No jutty, frieze, buttress, nor coign of vantage, but this bird hath made his pendant bed and procreant cradle. Where they most breed and haunt, I have observed, the air is delicate.
See, our honoured hostess. The love that follows us sometime is our trouble, which still we thank as love. Herein I teach you how you shall bid God yield us for your pains and thank us for your trouble.
All our service, in every point, twice done, then done double, were poor and single business to contend against those honours deep and broad wherewith your majesty loads our house. For those of old and the late dignities heaped up to them, we rest your hermits.
Where's the Thane of Cawdor? We coursed him at the heels and had a purpose to be his purveyor. But he rides well, and his great love, sharp as his spur, hath holp him to his home before us. Fair and noble hostess, we are your guest tonight.
Your servants ever have theirs, themselves and what is theirs, in compt, to make their audit at your highness' pleasure, still to return your own.
Give me your hand, conduct me to mine host. We love him highly, and shall continue our graces towards him. By your leave, hostess.
In this episode of William Shakespeare's Macbeth, Duncan was played by John Geraghty, Malcolm by Joe Pugh, Macbeth by John Lovett, and Banquo by Rob Jenkins. The part of Lady Macbeth was played by Jackie Danielle, and the messenger was played by Steve Hart. The play was directed by William Gilbert.